WBMC HD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast,
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston and some of the best co-hosts and fascinating topics of consciousness available. Shift Happens with Chandler David Watson, Tracy McBurney's Incredible Energy Consciousness, Mikael Mears' Financial Consciousness, and nuclear physicist Thomas Campbell with Quantum Physics and Consciousness. It's an incredible mix of the best teachers on consciousness on every show. Call Intuitive Soul and Friends now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. Today we have Tracy McBurney with us. Now, she wasn't able to be with us on her usual day, so we've got her today, but we announced it through that day, so hopefully those who caught her were hoping to catch her on that day are now with us today. So welcome.
Sorry about screwing that up. I was in Cuba.
Yes. Can the Americans go to Cuba yet?
I think that you can if you have family in Cuba. I think that Obama has actually opened a little bit of a doorway there. Yeah. I don't consider myself, again, to be well-versed on it, but I think there's some open door there now.
That's good because it is so pretty. Some of it.
Unbelievable beaches.
Except the sand, please.
Great music. Yeah, the sand, please. Let's not talk about the sand, please.
All right. So, Tracy is an intuitive energy medicine practitioner, and I just can't say enough about Tracy because, well, I go to her, so, and that says a lot. In fact, every time we have a show, I usually come back and see her because there's something that comes up that I think, hey, this is good. So today we decided we're going to talk about a couple things. I had an interview last week on Wednesday with Dr. Richard London, and we talked about the 9 chambers of the heart. But we're going to start with clearing denial.
Yeah, clearing denial. Lori, she asked me what I wanted to come and kind of talk about today and introduce and kind of ponder. And this has been all over my office for the last several months. And it doesn't come without my having to have gone through some personal reevaluation and judgment of myself. Because in the beginning of my practice, and that would now go back maybe 15 years ago, one of the earliest mentors that I had after I came out of the Canadian School of Natural Nutrition with my designation was a woman by the name of Candace Blakely. And she had brought forward and founded a piece of work called New Decision Therapy, and I believe that she's still doing that work to date. And so she was one of the first people that I learned a technique, a kinesiology technique, that was very valuable for the clearing of emotional and spiritual pain. One of the things that she brought forward, it was the first time that I'd ever been introduced to that concept, that idea of the necessity to clear denial for somebody before you move forward. And she introduced it as 3 layers of denial. And the first layer of denial, she said, look, some people come into my office space and they don't even have the first level of denial cleared. And that's the level that it would even allow them to have the awareness of what was going on within them, like what it was that they could even potentially come in and speak about. Like it wasn't even up on their desktop at all, not even consciously available at all what was wrong or what was going on in them. So that was first level of denial. Second level of denial she introduced to us is you'd have clients coming into your office, and yes, they knew their stuff. They knew what it was that they wanted to talk about, what was festering inside of them. They could come in and say, my husband this and my, and that was great. They could talk about it. Not only was it aware to them what was going on that was really eating at them, but they could talk to me about it. That was second level of denial clear. Third level of denial clear was that now you could hear. Not only could you talk in a session about what was going on, blah, 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 but you could hear what might be directed within you as some potential resolution. So you could hear from inside of you something different, or you could hear from me what I might have to, or might, I might be able to impart upon you in that day that might shift something. Right. Change your perspective, change your heart position. There's my new one for this week, heart position. Change your heart position or your soul positioning on whatever's going on in your life.
And so this can be from conscious or completely unconscious.
Yeah.
So it may be that consciously you think that you're ready to do these things, but unconsciously you may be in denial, or it may be both, or it may be right.
That would be correct. And in fact, what's interesting is the people that come in and they kind of know their stuff and they know what they want to talk about, they could even talk about it. They're kind of some of the insidious ones, because that's kind of where it stops. It's kind of like, okay, then I'm stuck at a third level of denial where I cannot hear because I want to stay in some illusion. Like, there's some part of me that really needs to stay in the illusion of where I am, but boy, do I want to talk about it. Boy, do I need to let some of this stuff out. Or you can hear what I may have to deliver to you that comes through channels of divine or your own guidance or the guidance around you, your guides. You can hear that. But you cannot, the veil of fourth level, which Candace never spoke about. She never spoke about the levels beyond three because she said there were none. Right. And there are actually levels of denial beyond three.
And maybe 15 years ago there weren't, but.
And, well, yeah. Consciously available
yes,
to us.
Exactly.
The fourth level of denial is, can you accept a truth that will override the illusion that you have so desired to stay in? So you stay in the illusion of, I am ugly. You stay in the illusion of that. You stay in the illusion of, my father doesn't love me. You stay in the illusion of this stuff rather than accept a greater truth than that illusion. So there's a boy that I'm thinking about right now, and he's stuck in an illusion, or he was stuck in an illusion. This is a boy that's about 8 or 9. And he's stuck in an illusion based on his parents' parenting. They've broken up. This is a broken up family. And so he looks out at his broken up family, and he has already internalized that they will never agree.
Oh.
He's internalized that idea that mother and father will never agree. So this was the first problem, is that he made that decision. Okay, from everything that he saw outside of him and all the fights and all the bantering and all the stuff going back and forth between mom and dad, at some point he'd had enough and the decision was made. Now mom is starting to do an interesting turnaround with regard to child. And she's managed to get through to this child, finally through to his heart, through all of the work that's been done, through to his heart, through to his beingness. She's finally gotten through to him that mom loves me. I am loved by mom. But because he's internalized what he considers a truth, he's made a decision that happened before that, that mom and dad will never agree. Then the moment that he accepts that mom loves me, he must also then accept within his illusionary state that my dad never will.
Oh, because they don't agree.
Because they don't
right.
agree.
Right.
So this has escalated the fighting between dad and him. And we had to figure out why the fighting between dad and him got so much worse as mom's relationship got so much better.
Right.
So why is this important? Because he was in a level of denial that wanted to hold in place the decision that they would never agree. So therefore, he could never internalize an agreement for them within himself. And we had to lift a level of denial, one or more, so that he could accept a truth within himself. That just because they don't agree, and maybe they will never agree, that does not mean that he has to agree with them. That he has to agree also with how they are operating. So we had to get him to that place. But it would not have been an easy task if we did not have that wonderful, wonderful affirmation of asking that divine within himself to lift all levels of illusion and denial, to lift all levels of denial that are operating within him that would interfere with his own divine intelligence being able to guide him through this and deliver to him a greater wisdom than he was getting from the misbehavior of his parents. And so we did that.
That's fascinating. And there's more than four levels too, right?
Yeah, there are. And in, and in fact, you know, interesting question to bring up because the answer is yes, there are. And I checked this out with colleagues and colleagues of mine that are really quite intuitive, quite guided. And we're getting that the answer is 10, that there are 10 levels of denial.
Wow.
Not three, 10. I only know how to consciously describe 7 of them. It doesn't mean that we can't release all 10. I just do not at this point have conscious awareness of what all of those 10 mean. I can still go to a place of the releasing of all 10, but I'm going to a place that's beyond my conscious awareness. I'm literally allowing myself and asking my clients sometimes to go to a place that's beyond maybe even the understanding of humanity at this time.
Right.
So we can understand and comprehend within our consciousness that the concept is that there are 10 levels, but maybe we as humanity, I don't know, maybe it's just me and my colleagues, or maybe it's the greater humanity, we do not have the things in place at this time in greater humanity to be able to accept the bigness of the full understanding of that at a conscious level. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Doesn't mean we can't go there.
Right.
Right? We just can't, from a conscious level, really understand what that means.
Right.
Maybe a little the same truth as is with God. You know, we can still go there to the conceiving of a God within ourselves, the conceiving of even the use of this word God, just changed into Allah. I don't need to piss anybody off because it can be any name. Interesting that all those names that we use all have that ah sound in them. I always think that's kind of interesting. Krishna, God, Allah. It's kind of like, praise the ah. Praise to the ah, Yahweh. Yeah, I always find that kind of interesting that there's a tone.
Right.
There's a common tone within all of the names that we've chosen around the world. And maybe if we could just embrace the tone. Wouldn't
right.
that be interesting?
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, wouldn't it be interesting? So maybe it's the same as where we are with that God, Krishna, Allah, Yahweh. Maybe it's the same. We understand it to a certain level, but we cannot comprehend the greatness. Like we cannot comprehend at a conscious level or truly understand and probably never will the intricacies of this this God at its greatest level. From a conscious perspective within humanity. So anyway, that's where we are with denial. And I've had to work through, and I think still as I'm speaking here into this microphone, I'm going, and I haven't finished with that yet because I can feel it. regret. I'm still working through this issue within myself of regret that I walked away. That I walked away from that body of work. Like I walked away from everything within that body of work except for the couple of things at that time that I could pick out of that body of work that was her work and say, wow, I'll take that and I'll take that and I'll take that. And now I'm going over here and I'm going to combine that and that and that over here. And wow, wow, look at how good that. My mother would be very upset that you just heard me say that. Sorry, Mom. That grammatical error of phrasing. How good is that? How that works together over there. And I guess the regret is I didn't recognize. I bought into another mentor who told me that his technique would take care of that. His technique would take care of the clearing of denial and all of these other things. And so it was better than what I had been doing in the past. And in fact, his technique was actually better for clearing a whole lot of stuff in the nervous system. but it was not the truth that it cleared denial. It didn't even touch denial. Not even one iota did it touch denial.
We're going to talk about that more when we come back from break. We're going to go to our first break. We will take callers. If you have a question around denial or around something that is sort of bothering you, we could look at that. You can
maybe
give us
lift
a call.
You out of denial.
There you go. You give us a call at 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. You're listening to Intuitive Soul Friends with Tracy McBurney and Lori Houston on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
CBS Radio, The Sky, and NewSkyRadio.com are presented only for entertainment purposes and are not responsible for choices and decisions made as a result of such advice or other information offered.
The strands in your eyes, the color them wonderful, stop me and steal my breath. And emeralds from mountains and thrust towards the sky, never revealing their depth. And tell me that we belong together, dress it out with the trappings of love. I'll be captivated, I'll hang from your lips.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul of Friends with Lori Houston and Tracy McBurney. Tracy can be found on the internet at TracyMcBurney.com. Tracy without an E. McBurney, M-C-B-U-R-N-E-Y. .com. All right, so we are talking about denial, which really, you know, well, because I've done work with you and we've done these layers, it's an interesting thing because you can, again, you can be consciously thinking that you want to do all this work and consciously feel that you have these connections to God and the God within or the God without. And, you know, and then you start doing the work and you find out you got all these things that can interfere.
Well, I think the other valuable piece here is that you come in to work with somebody one day And you are so clear, so open. There's nothing within the programming of you that's saying, no, 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 can't go here without my mother, can't go here without my father, can't go here without, you know, every, you. There are days when you have those moments in your life where you go and you get some work done, something cleared, some course, everything just moves, opens. There's no level of denial operating at that day at all. And then something else happens in your world. And now you've got layer after layer after layer of denial. And denial is there. First of all, it's a defense mechanism, right? So sometimes denial is there in the psychology of us because things happen in our world at, let's say, early ages. We can't handle that. It's like that movie, A Few Good Men. You can't handle the truth. Well, at 4 years old or 5 years old, 6 years old, 10 years old, you couldn't handle the truth that was in front of you, that you were just molested by the uncle that you loved the most. Mm-hmm. You couldn't handle the integrating of all of that information. You psychically could not handle the violation, the betrayal, everything that it was asking your little mind to understand. You couldn't handle it. So it had to get compartmentalized and buried under levels of denial for your very survival. Mm. Right? And so we bury these things in dreams, which is a way of denying. So it's buried in a dream every once in a while. Some of that little stuff spurts out in a dream. It just, these things get buried so that we can go on, so that we can go on and live past that day. Right. And at some point in our life, these things do come up, or they will come up. And maybe in some people's conscious world, never right. do they come up. So denial is there because we are overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. You have a classroom where you're sitting in with a professor who's really smart, way smarter than you're internalizing that you are, and they're firing stuff at you all the time for 72 minutes. How long could you be in that room with that information firing at you when you got lost? Some part of you got lost, you know, 12 minutes ago in whatever that was he put up on that math board. And you're like, oh, how'd you get that? And at one point, at that point, you've just gone into denial. You've gone into a level of denial. Your brain has just gone, I can't compute, can't compute, can't compute, can't. Denial is that I can't compute. I can't compute it. Like it really is that. So right. It's, I have to go into this place of denial because I can't compute. The brain can't take this in, can't take all of this in. The senses can't take all of this in, don't know what to do with it. Nervous system can't take all of this in. So denial is a self-preservation operating system. And I do recognize that, which is why I will always say divine, meaning I'm asking that divine within you. Divine, is it safe, appropriate, and highest and best interest that we ask of you to lift this denial now, one or more layers, so that you, divine within them, can be accessible to them at this time? In other words, are they ready for this change? As you see it from your perspective, are they ready to take in your love, your light, your way of seeing this? Your way of seeing this that has no judgment, that is not marred in all that negative emotion. Are they ready for their life to change in these ways? Are they ready to see themselves in a different way? Are they ready to see that attacker in a different way? Are they ready to be pulled out of victim place today? Because denial, when we choose it, and we do choose it on autopilot, and that's the other thing, right? Mm-hmm. We don't really have any conscious decision-making process around going into denial. It's all done at a very unconscious level, autopilot. It's done on it's an autopilot reaction. And so people are oblivious to the fact that they're in one or more levels of denial. They really just think the truth. I know the truth. I know the truth. You know nothing about the truth. You are stuck in whatever this lie or illusion is. Mm. You're stuck in this illusionary lie that says that you're ugly. And it's stuck inside of you at hidden chambers of your heart. It's stuck that story in certain storage spaces within your chakras. You know nothing about the truth. You just know the illusion and the lie that you made the truth a long time ago, or that your mother, your father, your ancestry, your lineage made a truth and called a truth a long time ago and then dumped into your DNA stranding, and you're accepting it without question. You know nothing about what the truth is as your divine sees it today, because these levels and layers of denial are not allowing you access to that greater wisdom. So it's really cool. It really is. It's almost like to recognize the value of the lifting of denial is literally to say to yourself that day, I am ready to embrace a greater level of freedom for my consciousness, for how I think and how I think about myself and how I think of others. I am ready to break free of the illusions that were either mine that I created myself or that were created for me and that I just accepted by osmosis without question. I am ready. I am ready to be free. And the lifting of denial, I think, is a very, very important piece in our freedom.
Right.
Yeah. It makes me very excited.
I know. Very passionate about it.
Again, I sit there and I feel the regret. Mm-hmm. I feel the regret that I left this as long as I did. That I think there were lots and lots and lots of clients that were helped in my office all those years that I walked away believing that denial was being taken care of in this other way. I think they were still helped because the levels of denial, not because I know, the levels of denial that they needed lifted were lifted on that day. But the regret comes from if there was one person who came into my office that could have been helped but was stuck in a place of denial, and if I had only realized, then where might they be? And I have to take those moments when they're coming up like this, and I have to allow myself to internalize through that divine connection that it's all divine. It's all divine. To remember that they are exactly where they're supposed to be. And if they were supposed to be anywhere else, then they would have gone to someone else that day or every day afterwards to clear at that time what really needed to be cleared, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But having said that, I sound like a broken record. I can still feel that pain, which means that there, and that issue, I can still feel that issue inside of my heart. I'm still holding that as judgment to myself. In other words, a part of myself, ego, or whatever part of myself that's saying, you should have been better than that. You should have known better than that. You, Tracy, should have known better than that. You should have known. You should not have believed that. You should have known. And so if I'm then to practice what I preach, because I'm still human, right? If I then have to then practice, if I want to practice what I preach, I then have to say to the divine within myself, touch those places. I give you permission to enter into those places within me that are still struggling with this regret, that are still struggling and in a place of judgment against myself for what I did not know, for what I would not accept, for what I did not see. I give you permission, divine, to get into these places within me, all of them, whether they are locked, whether they are hidden, whether they are cloaked, whether they're disguised, I give you permission to get into all aspects of me and all parts of me that are still holding this regret for what I did not see that day, for what I did not see all days after that day until about 3.5 weeks ago. And I thank you, Divine. I thank you, Divine. Or a thank you to me. A thank you to me. From the highest level of me, to the lowest levels of me, a thank you that I am finally allowing myself to be released from that judgment. To release myself from that judgment, because I have the power within me to release myself from that judgment and to restore myself to innocence. For I was guilty of walking away from something in Candace Blakely's work of New Decision Therapy that was profoundly relevant for the healing of us. I walked away from that and believed another when I was told it was taken care of a different way. I am and was guilty of that. And I am desiring to be released through your channels, divine, that live within me, to be released from that guilt so that I might come home to innocence. And to a recognition that it's all divine, with your help, with your help, with the help of that God within myself, return me and all aspects of me and all parts of me to a knowing and a believing and a faith and a trust that it's all divine and there have been no mistakes.
Nice. We have to go to break right now. Very good, though. I like that. All right, so we are going to go to break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Tracy McBurney. Tracy can be found on the internet at tracymcburney.com. We will be right back. We're listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries. NewSkyRadio.com.
A man decides after 70 years that what he goes there for is to unlock the door. Well, those around him criticize and sleep. A fractal on a breaking wall, I see you, my friend, and touch your face again. Miracles will happen as we dream. No one ever gonna survive unless we are a little. Walking through my head, one of them's got a gun to shoot the other one. And yet together they were friends at school. Oh, but we're never gonna survive.
never gonna survive.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Tracy McBurney and Lori Houston. We have a couple of instant feedbacks. We're not going to go into a lot of details. You may not get the answer you're thinking you're going to be, you were asking, but we're going to look at the first one, which is Pamela, who's confused about her marriage and doesn't know if she should stay married or if whether it's time to move on.
Okay. So for Pamela, here's the piece, or this is what I can get right now in the simplicity of this, is that one of the things that's creating confusion is that she is in a place of denial. There's one or more levels or layers of denial that do need to be lifted so she can see a greater truth, so she can kind of see what I'm seeing. So I'm going to ask if it's safe and appropriate and highest and best interest that all blocks to this, resistances, reversals of any kind, obstacles, boulders to the removal of these denial veils, that these be lifted, but only if safe and appropriate to do so, so that it will be to deliver to herself that divine wisdom and not look outside of herself to get that. Secondly, what I would say is it is her divine will. That means the will at the highest level of her. It is God's will within herself. It is divine will that she stay in this marriage right now. She hasn't learned within this marriage dynamic all that she is to learn. It is easier to learn certain things when you lift layers of denial so that the divine can get through to you. So the intention that everybody might want for themselves is the intention to have levels and layers of denial lifted, if safe and appropriate, so that this divine within themselves can communicate to other levels of consciousness, raise those, deliver different messagings and healings. Okay, so that would be the message for her. It is ego desire that right. wishes her out of this relationship. It is still soul's desire to be here, though. So hopefully this is a little helpful in lifting these denial levels will benefit her at this point.
Perfect. All right. The second one is from Deanie. This is very interesting because you're asking about angels and guides around you, and then you say that you love your work and your current team, but there are changes at work lately. Do you see me changing group and whether that this current team will assist you to grow? Now, we're going to take this to a different level.
Yeah, we're going to take it to a different level for sure. Okay, first of all, there's something that's been coming into my conscious awareness for the last 6 months, and it probably has everything to do with 2012. Mm. Are you working with spiritual teams that are assisting you to grow, not just in present time existence, but long into the future? So it's about long-term growth, right? There's lots of us, and I think it can have something to do with 2012 and what's going on deep within the recesses of us and what our expectations on some level are about the end of the world versus the end of a world age. But I think there are a lot of us that are working with spiritual teams that may not be working in our best interest long term. They are not holding a long term vision. Now, that would be the criticism that I might have if I were looking at what's going on in the United States as far as government is concerned. Hello, could we actually work for not just what's going on present time, but long-term vision? Right? So I'm thinking what I'd like to say to this person, because I misread the question initially when you set it out, is that the answer for her is, no, from a spiritual perspective, you're not working with the right team. We all have a team of guides. And in fact, it was told to me, and it appears to be truth, that as humans, we have three guides that walk with us every day of our life until we exit off this earth. And we all have three. And then some of us might have four or five at another time in our life when we're really working at something like a PhD or to bring forward greater levels of awareness. But minimal is three. And so what I feel is, yes, she's got three guides operating with her that are great maybe for present time work, like for the short term, like what do you need to put in place now without necessarily all the consideration and vision for what do you need to put in place for seven generations into the future? Mm. You know, kind of that Japanese
concept,
which I love, mm-hmm. right? Which I don't think we're practicing so much. And I think we really maybe should be looking at that. What are the decisions that consider not just present time, but seven generations into the future are these good decisions? And are we working with the guides? Are we, if you can't conceptualize seven generations into the future, well, at least conceptualize till the end of your life and start to accept that the end of your life doesn't happen on December the 21st, 2012. Right? And it's amazing how many people have integrated into their subconscious mind data banks that that is in fact the truth.
Hmm.
That their life ends in 2012. And so that's been helpful and not helpful to a certain extent. In other words, it's getting people to really start to think about where they want to spend their time,
right.
Where they want to spend their time, where they want to focus their attention. If my life ends December 21st, 2012, then how do I want to spend my time? If I feel like I want to leave some sort of footprint on this earth, then what am I doing this year to place that footprint on this earth? Because I've got to do it now. And I do think there's a struggle to envision a life for 2013, a life for 2020, a retirement fund at all.
Yeah.
Right? Let alone a retirement fund that I might be able to access with a great deal of wealth in it by 2050. So that's what I'm saying to this woman, is I think her guides are working with too little, a short-term vision, and she doesn't have at least one guide in place that can work with long-term vision for her, a long-term vision that goes beyond 2012, beyond 2015. And sometimes that's not about 2012. It's about I'm deeply aligned with my mother's family. My mother died early, so I don't see a vision for my life that goes beyond the time frame that my mother lived and walked on this earth. Mm-hmm. So it has nothing to do with 2012. It has everything to do with my mother passed away at 57, and that's how many years I have on this earth. So I have a vision that plans for my life. I have guides that plan for my life for the next 57 years. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's all I get. Because internally in my subconscious mind data banks, I accept my mother as creator, I accept my father as creator, but I don't accept anything beyond them. I don't accept anything beyond my family and my ancestral lineage as creating me, so it ends there. 57. So I'm thinking there might be something of value to that woman and what I just said to her, not so relevant for 2012, but relevant for who she's thinking she is needing to be aligned with as far as life and death for her and how far the plan goes. And if she were to just lift denial and ask for it to be lifted, then the divine will give her a clearer idea of how long her life can be and how far into the future she really needs to make her plan for. That feels divinely guided for her, so I hope she's listening.
Okay. So she can ask for a new team. Like that's the same.
Feel like it's one.
Oh,
I feel
one.
Like either she needs to add a guide to the mix. It's almost like she's trying to design a retirement plan, but she doesn't have the person in place that can take it right to the end.
Okay.
Right? So I don't know if it's just really give divine permission to restructure the team. I feel like she's got a great team in place. Okay. So either she needs to add a guide in, meaning a fourth guide. She needs to add a guide in, or it's time for one of them to go because there's something more intelligent that has a greater vision that needs to replace it.
Nice.
But she needs to just give that permission for that to happen. And then I think it will be interesting. I think it'll be interesting. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be an interesting road to watch. I wish I knew her because it would be fascinating to see where that takes her in the next couple of years.
All right. Okay, so we're going to go to our last break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul of Friends with Tracy McBurney. and Lori Houston. Tracy can be found on the internet at TracyMcBurney.com, Tracy without an E, and McBurney, McBurney.com. You were on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Take CBS Radio, the sky, with you wherever you go. Be sure to download the Radio.com app today from your mobile marketplace. And when you really want to know more, 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 be sure to visit NewSkyRadio.com. Get in deep with exclusive articles and Sky News. Get your weekly horoscope and the inside scoop on host events. Radio.com and NewSkyRadio.com. Stay connected.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Tracy McBurney today. Tracy's usually with us the second Friday of every month, so she will be back with us in April. And April 13th.
Oh, maybe
Friday,
not.
Friday the 13th?
Maybe not.
Okay, well, we may have to pre-record that show.
That might actually be the first starting date of a class.
Okay.
I think so.
We will see.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Tracy can be found on the internet at TracyMcBurney.com. All right. So we did mention that we were going to talk a little bit about the nine chambers of the heart. Now, this...
Which I profess to know next to nothing about, but got really interested in after you told me about this interview.
I had an interview last Wednesday with Dr. Richard London, and one of the things we talked about was these nine chambers of the heart
And then I went and saw Tracy shortly thereafter, so that became part of the session we had.
And then she tells me, and then I start to vibrate, and then the hairs stand up on my arms, which always bumps. Tells me this is something I need to pay attention to, and it's been an interesting whirlwind ever since. And I haven't even heard the interview. I'm now just saying, please email me that link, because I now want to go and listen to the interview. So anyway, it was like a dog with a bone, right? Like you tell me that piece of information, it's like, oh, I want to know more. I have to know more. The hairs on my arms tell me I have to know more. So there are just little pieces of information, but oh my goodness, such wonderful pieces of information. So how beautiful that man is. So, the first thing I did is just kind of get quiet. And the first thing I wanted to ask is that the truth? You know, is that the truth? There wasn't any part of me that didn't think that I'd been told the truth about chambers of the heart that went beyond the four that we can see. That wasn't the question. It was, is it the truth that there are nine?
Mm-hmm.
Or is there 10 or 11 or 12? It was kind of like Candace with the three levels of denial, but right. There aren't. There's more, right? But it looks like there's nine. So, yay, nine. The Tibetan number, they're a beautiful number, so there's nine. And then I just wanted to understand some things about this. And so this is what came in, is that those five chambers, that's what they want to call them, chambers. I then have heard it being called the sacred heart.
Mm.
The sacred heart. Beautiful. These chambers make up our sacred heart. And then that became interesting because I have a homeopathic remedy in my office called the bridge to the sacred heart. Mm. And it's a Tibetan remedy. And it's actually for thyroid.
Interesting.
The bridge to the sacred heart. And so these five chambers, I have to believe, are the secret heart. What I was told is that to access these secret chambers, you have to have developed a level of consciousness that can accept your divine. That either can accept the divine within yourself. In other words, you've achieved a level of consciousness that can accept you are God. You are that God. I am that I am, as Wayne Dyer would put it always in his work, in his talk. Or you've accepted a level of consciousness that has accepted that you are aligned with a higher power. That you may wish to call God, Allah, Krishna, anything with the Ah, Yahweh, all of it, or none of it, or universal force. You've accepted you, this little man you, are much greater than this. You have a connection to a higher power by whatever name you wish to call it, and that you can utilize that power. You can call on that power. You have connection to that power. Who cares what the name is, right? Or when you are more highly evolved, you are recognizing that that power is within you. That you don't have to find that power by walking into a church. You don't have to find that power by walking into a synagogue. You don't have to find that power by walking into any spiritual or religious doorway. That you have access to that power and can utilize that power, even if it's by sitting under a tree. Right? That you have access to a power that is greater than the human animal. So it's kind of a little bit like where that Jesus went. Now, again, I'm paraphrasing this, but it was something like everything I do or everything that I do, everything that I show you, you have available within you and more. And what he's basically delivering to us is, people, you are not just animal. Human, you are not just animal. You are something beyond any other animal on this earth. You have a power available to you. Every person who is human has a power available to them that is beyond the power of any other animal on this planet. You have a divine way to heal yourself, access to a divine way to make things better. You have access to a divine way that the dog does not have, that the goat does not have, that the pig does not have, that the cow does not have. You are guardian of this earth. This is why you have been given this greater power, so that you might access this greater power to help those who do not and cannot, either that have not got that consciousness raised to that point, or because they are pigs, because they are dogs, so that you can actually improve their capacity to heal, the dog, the cat, by the accessing of that power within you. I think that's what he was saying.
Right.
And then I look and I go, wow, we are so not doing that. on large droves in this world, we are so not doing that. So the interesting piece here is that what I got was, you can't access these chambers. These chambers must be accessed. They are sacred. They are sacred land. They are sacred property within your heart, and they cannot be accessed by something that is not divine. So whether you are walking that path and going into that Catholic church and saying to that priest, would you please, for me, because I don't believe that I can do this for myself, would you please turn to that God and tell that God to go into my sacred heart and to deliver its love to my sacred heart, to all these chambers in my sacred heart. Do you get it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the level of consciousness that one person would have. Great.
Yeah.
Great. Whether you feel that you have to go somewhere else because they have the power, at least you knew that you had the power to connect to that higher power, even if you had to go through three channels to get it.
Right.
But you can't access those heart chambers without connection to that divine.
There you go. We may talk about this the next time you are here and go into it a little bit more, because I am sure that by the time we see you next, you will have more information on it as well.
And I will have listened to your radio program from last week. What do you have to say?
So this is Intuitive Soul with Friends. You've been listening with Tracy McBurney. She can be found on the internet at tracymcburney.com.
Thank you, Laura.
You're welcome, Tracy. And may love and grace be your guides to creating the life you desire. We're listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.